Thousands of railroad crossings dot the state of Wisconsin, and each one is a potential danger. Every year, there are tragedies that can be avoided. So we're going to take a look at those railroad crossings with the Commissioner of Railroads in the state of Wisconsin. Don Vruwink is our guest, and we invite you to this conversation about rail safety and the role that each and every one of us play. Have you ever had a close call with a train before? You want to tell us about it? You got questions about rail safety in Wisconsin? Join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email to talk@wpr.org. And Don, welcome to the Larry Mueller Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I look forward to being on today.
So you were appointed a couple of years ago now, and it's a 6-year term as a state railroad commissioner. Tell us a little bit about what the job is like and what you've seen in the few years you've been there.
Well, actually, in March, it'll be 3 years. I'll be halfway through my appointment.
Okay.
And when I got appointed, you know, I had a vague understanding of what the Commissioner of Railroads did. In fact, I think most people have a misunderstanding of what the railroad commissioner does. They think that we are involved in our daily working with the railroads and with economic development and so forth. And what we actually do is our main function is the safety at all the railroad public crossings in the state of Wisconsin. That's our main job, to make sure that they're safe.
So you're like a public safety commissioner for the state of Wisconsin.
But primarily, that's our job, is to make sure that every public railroad crossing is safe for people to cross.
And how many rail crossings do we have in our state, Don?
Well, we have approximately 4,000 public crossings.
Okay.
And that's what we're in charge of. You know, in Wisconsin, I don't think people realize that we still have 3,300 miles of rail in Wisconsin, which would take us from the East Coast to the West Coast, you know, and so on that 3,300 mile stretch are about 4,000 public crossings.
And when we talk about rail crossing safety, what do we know about the statistics about injuries and fatalities in Wisconsin?
Well, our statistics are pretty, I've been on a job almost 3 years now, and if we go back and look 5 to 10 years, accidents what happens is pretty predictable. I would say that the biggest incidents we have are with people trespassing on railroad tracks. When we get people killed, they're usually walking on a track, and sometimes we don't know if it was intentional. But we usually get fatalities every year with people walking on the tracks. And in winter weather, it's always predictable that people slide across the tracks. When they get too close to the tracks and try to stop, they can't stop. So it's pretty even. I mean, we average about 3 to 5 deaths a year overall, but many more incidences.
Those would be 3 to 5 preventable deaths in Wisconsin. And, you know, what's the fallout from casualties like these that could be prevented? I would imagine that it would be traumatic for anybody who would be in rail safety or, you know, engineers on the trains when they deal with the preventable injuries and deaths like these, Don.
Well, when someone's killed by a train, it's pretty traumatic for the engineer. When they see the people on the track. I mean, I've seen a couple of the cams. You know, every engine has a camera, and you see what they see, and it's pretty difficult. We've had people on bikes killed. We've had people who've left the car in the tracks, and you know, just different things, and it's pretty traumatic. And that's why we should say that crashes are preventable, but sometimes, when people are in a hurry, you can't, you know, we've had people go around the gates and lights, been hit by a train, and, you know, we can't prevent that, but we can prevent accidents by happening by making sure, you know, that safety at every crossing is followed.
Well, the Wisconsin Commissioner of Railroads can't prevent that, but I can by not doing it. And so can somebody else by considering that no matter how late they are or how quick they need to get there, it can wait.
Right, and you can watch a train coming, and you can see people when they see a train coming, I've observed this, they rush to get across to beat the train.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, if we want to give a message to people, these trains are moving faster than what we realize a lot of times.
And they can't stop.
And they can't stop. They no, it takes them over a mile to stop if they're going 45 and 50 miles an hour.
When I was young, my grandparents were in Kohler, Wisconsin. There was a train that went right through their backyard to the Kohler Company twice a day. It was a part of our life, but also a part of our life, Don, was walking those train tracks over the trestle, through the moraine. And then when you talk about the fatalities of being actual pedestrians on train tracks, is that even legal?
No, if you walk on the tracks, I mean, that's railroad property.
Okay.
And so you're trespassing, and that's a big issue. And I know as a kid, we don't even think about that.
Right.
You know, it's a shortcut to get to where you want to go. We've had parked cars, across where kids go underneath the rail cars to get faster to their school and stuff like that. And those are the things that always, you know, keep you awake at night, and knowing that that car could move or kids could get caught. I mean, we've had bicyclists who've turned in front of a train, not realizing how fast the train was coming. We had an accident my first year where that happened. A 16-year-old got killed turning his bike in front of the train.
Oh.
And so, yeah, and I live here in Milton, Wisconsin, and I see kids walking down the track going to school in the morning because it's the fastest way for them to get there. And so that's why we want to be proactive and talking and being on the radio to tell people, please don't go on the tracks, because you can fall, hit your head. There's a lot of things that could happen that could cause a catastrophe.
And you're trespassing. That's not your property. That's not for you to go on. And that's where fatalities happen. Don Vruwink is our guest. He is Wisconsin's Commissioner of Railroads, and you can join our conversation about Wisconsin rail safety at 1-800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Randy in Trempealeau County next. Randy, good afternoon.
Yes. Hey, I'd like to get the commissioner's take on a situation that's arisen in my county. We have like a landowner that has property on the other side of the railroad tracks on ag land. And so these crossings, they're pretty much just like access roads for, you know, the access of operating the land on the other side. And you know, they've gotten to the point where they have talked about trying to sell some of that land to others. And because of the railroad tracks between the highway and the property, they don't meet the requirements for road frontage. So we've run into just like kind of a lot of questions about whatever permission these landowners have with railroad, if their permits, if their licenses, if they go with the property or if they go with the landowner. Mm. So I'm just curious what take he can, how he can enlighten me.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Randy, because Don, you were talking about the 4,000 public rail crossings in Wisconsin that you're responsible for, but what about when they're private like this and looking for sale?
Well, private crossings are made agreements made with the railroad to give access to the property, and we have nothing that we can do about those agreements. That's the agreement that has to happen with the railroad. In fact, when he mentions that, I grew up on a farm in Wood County, and we had the highway go through, and with the new highway, farmers' access got cut off to their property, and they had to enter into agreements with the railroad to get a private crossing to get in there. Now, I would imagine if the property was sold, that private crossing would be, you know, was negotiated to be used as a way to get in there, that would probably continue to be good.
But that would be a private to private agreement.
Right, that's a private to private agreement. And we have no authority over any of that in our office.
Randy, I appreciate the question. Let's go to Ed in Lodi next. Ed, good afternoon.
Yes. Who do you contact to get a railroad crossing fixed? North of Lodi, we have a railroad crossing that is terrible. I mean, it really does a number on your shocks and everything else here. And I'm just wondering, how do we get that? Who to report to?
So the crossing, Ed, as you're talking about, it's not a broken gate or it's not a broken sign or lights. It's actually breaking other people's cars as they cross over it?
Well, yeah, it's just bumpy. You hit it and your shocks take a beating, you know, as you go across it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I have to ask, is it a state highway, a county highway, a local road?
Ah.
It's 113 state.
Okay. So then you would have to contact the DOT who would be responsible for the highway. But first of all, there is every railroad crossing has a sign on it, a blue sign. Oh. And there's a number on it to call. And so we have, in our office, we have a rough crossing process that has to be followed by statute. And in that, in our role is that the local highway authority who's responsible for that highway has to inform a railroad agent that that crossing is rough. And they get 30 days to respond. If they don't respond to them in 30 days, that's when our office can get involved statutorily. And then we can make the contact with the railroad and get something done to help fix that crossing. We've done that in a few incidences. I've had to do that. And our office has had to do that. But we can't get involved until after 30 days when the local highway authority that's responsible for the highway makes the contact with the railroad agent.
So each one of the 4,000-some public railway crossings in Wisconsin will have a blue sign, and each of those blue signs would have a phone number to contact, and I would imagine, Don, some way to identify which crossing that is?
There is a crossing number on there, yes.
Okay.
And there's a purpose for it, because sometimes, well, that sign is on there because sometimes people, in wintertime or something, get their cars get stalled on a railroad track.
Oh, sure.
And people can get out of the car and they can look to call that number because they can contact the railroad and say, my car is stuck on the crossing. They could contact the train and stop the train until that car is removed. So that's one of the reasons why it's there as well.
That's a question I wish I would have asked you, Don. If you are to find your car stalled out on a track, you could on a public crossing, you could find that blue sign, call that number, and notify the railroad as quickly as possible in hope of preventing an accident. Hey, Ed, did that help answer your question, by the way?
Yeah, where's the phone number again?
The phone number is on that blue sign by that crossing. Yeah, the other thing you might want to do, I know it's a state highway, but if you contacted your county highway commissioner and told them what crossing, they probably have a person, somebody at the state that they can have on their speed dial. They could call them. They could give the railroad a shout out and tell them about the crossing. And if they don't respond in 30 days, then we can get involved. Now, in this time of year, the crossing wouldn't probably get fixed, but you could do a temporary fix of it because you got to wait to, you know, asphalt and blacktop and stuff can be utilized. But they could temporarily fix it. But that's the process that we have to follow.
Hey, Ed, I thank you so much for calling. Our guest is Don Vruwink. He is the Wisconsin Commissioner of Railroads. And if you have a question about rail safety and the 4,000-some public railroad crossings in Wisconsin, join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Larry today, and you're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. Every Friday on The Larry Mueller Show, it is Garden Talk, and tomorrow is no exception. Gardening expert Melinda Myers returns tomorrow to talk about growing tomatoes and what you can do indoors when it's 40 below wind chill outdoors. Also tomorrow, Ryan Feldman, an emergency medicine pharmacist, talks about his new children's book and card game, teaching kids about toxic, and I would imagine adults as well, teaching everybody of all ages about toxic mushrooms and how to avoid them. All coming up tomorrow on Garden Talk, here on the Larry Mueller Show from 11 to 1. Right now, we're joined by the Commissioner of Railroads in Wisconsin, Don Vruwink. And if you have a question for the Commissioner, you can give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or send us an email to talk@wpr.org. And Don, with 3 years almost under your belt now as the Commissioner of Railroads, what surprised you about this position? And maybe, you know, what do you hope to do in your next 3 years?
Well, What surprised me initially is really how small, you know, our staff is. We're the smallest state agency in Wisconsin. We only have six people in our office.
Wow.
And so with six people, we're tasked with dealing with 4,000 public crossings, which is quite a task to fulfill, because we have two investigators who go out in the summer and look at crossings. And this last year, we did 493 inspections. So we got close to 500. But if you think of the cycle,
yeah,
with 4,000 crossings and you can do 500, it takes us, we get to visit a crossing once every 8 years. So really, that's not enough to make sure that things are safe all the time. And when we went to those crossings, we found 125 serious safety issues that we had to get corrected.
That's 125 out of the 493 inspected?
Right. That we find, usually every time one of our inspectors go out, we find something. We had 125 serious safety issues and 278 minor issues when you look at our data from this last time. So we find something every time. It could be a missing advanced warning sign.
Sure.
You know, there's just a number of things, or a sign might have been knocked down.
But that's about four out of five, Don. That means, you know, just extrapolating there once every 8 years, that just about all of them will need at least some adjustment or you know, fix. Do you have the budget and the means to be able to do that?
Well, we don't have the budget that to try to get to all those crossings. We don't have enough investigators. So what we have done in our office in the last year and a half is to become proactive, like being on your radio show.
Mm-hmm.
But what we have done, my staff and I, is that we've went to the county association meetings. We went to the town association meetings. We have a booth where we can talk to people. Last year, I went to 9 town county supervisor meetings, so I can talk to the people there about things that they should look for and how they can contact their office and what are some common things we find. And so we're getting, you know, so because of our small budget, we can still do a good outreach by doing things like this where we can hit more people. And we found from the federal data that our safety record is getting better.
Well, Don, I'm glad you're here with us today. Let's go to Brian in Appleton next. Brian, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. I was in New London. I was walking to a fishing spot. The railroad tracks were abandoned, and the no trespassing signs were way off to the side. Yet I had a railroad cop give me a ticket.
A railroad
now,
cop?
I know there's a railroad cop. The railroad police. Yeah, that's okay. What it was. Now, I know they have the same problem in La Crosse area, where to get to some of the fishing spots, they have to cross the railroad tracks.
Huh. What was it? Was it a warning ticket? Did you have to pay a fine, Brian?
No. So the judge in Wapaka County threw it out.
Okay.
But, yeah, no warning, no nothing.
Interesting. The railroad police, Don, what do we know about this?
Well, all the major railroads have railroad police.
Oh.
That deal with some of these issues.
So is this private enforcement then?
Yeah, they have the authority to give tickets for trespassing. And even though a track might be abandoned, it's not used, it still could be railroad property, and it's still, it's still their property. So even an abandoned track that's not being utilized.
Sure, but I did not know that they had the authority to go ahead and issue citations and send people to court through a private law enforcement agency.
Yeah, but they're actually hired by the railroads. And I think CN has probably four or five regional police. They each have an area that they deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's dealing with complaints, of people aren't stopping for crossings or they're violating things. And so the railroads or the police then take care of those. I know of a case where a farmer, instead of using his crossing to cross the track, went and took his manure spreader along the right-of-way of the railroad, and the engine recorded him, and then the railroad police went out there 3 days later to talk to them and say, we could ticket you, or you're violating the railroad property, trespassing. So yeah, that does happen. And I think you mentioned lacrosse. Yeah. That's been an issue, a major issue along that line is getting to fishing areas down in there. But that problem could be resolved if the groups would work together to create some private crossings and create some parking where they could get down to those areas.
Well, Brian, I learned something from your call, and I thank you for calling. And again, Don, it is a public safety issue. This isn't about generating revenue for municipalities or enforcing. It's about making sure that we try to keep people safe, ultimately.
Right. And just so you know, the railroad police are not part of our office. We have nothing to do with them, but the individual railroads have police that they hire to enforce the trespassing regulations.
Yeah, but that sounds more like private security to me than public law enforcement.
Well, I see some of them when I go to Operation Lifesaver events, mm-hmm. and they have their uniforms that identify them as police, mm-hmm. the different railroads. So I don't know how you would classify them.
And also Brian talked about this being an unused railroad track. And I'm wondering if you or the Wisconsin Railroad Commission has anything to do with once railroad tracks are decommissioned. I know that there's a new walking path being built on some old tracks between Sauk City and Mazamani. Do you have any involvement in turning some of these old tracks into pedestrian or biking trails?
Well, requests have to come to us to work with the railroads and with the groups that want to create those. Yes, we have authority on those when they're created. Again, but it has to be where the railroads and the groups work together to come up with a solution that they want. And then we have to create an order from that to make sure that wherever it's built, that it's built safely if there is a crossing of the track.
Are we seeing more and more of this from decommissioned tracks?
Not as much lately. I think many of the tracks that were decommissioned have been decommissioned already.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I think if the railroads had their choice, they wish that some of the tracks would be put back into service again. You know, we had over 6,000 miles of tracks at one time in Wisconsin. Now we have about 3,300, as I said before.
Don Verwink is the Commissioner of Railroads in Wisconsin. And Don, you talked about your first 3 years and what surprised you. I just want to ask what your hopes and aspirations are for your role in these next 3 years in your 6-year term.
Well, we're hoping that we can continue to do more and more outreach because we get good feedback from the Towns Association, the county commissioners. We try to be in touch with each of the county commissioners because railroad safety is a shared responsibility between the railroads, the highway authorities, WSDOT from Wisconsin, and the FRA, along with the local townspeople who have the town roads in their communities. So we're all in this together. And so we're just a part of it. So we try to reach out to all of these groups to ensure that all the safety requirements are being met.
Save one life, prevent one accident. If that's all what we can do, then that would be doing doing some good.
Well, that's what our hope is. You know, it's hard to measure what you're doing because you don't know if you did something to prevent it from accident. But we just want to make sure that all the regulations that are in the statutes and stuff are being followed as best they could. And sometimes, you know, it's important for us to reach out because sometimes, like, especially in towns, in these town communities, these town supervisors and such, they change every couple of years and they're not familiar with all the regulations. There's a big learning curve. And that's why we try to reach out to them so they know what their responsibilities are.
Hey, Don, thanks so much for joining us today. And I want to invite you back to the Larry Mueller Show and keep us up to date on your work and how we can help keep our railroad crossing safe across Wisconsin. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I'm glad to come on anytime.
Don Vruwink is the Wisconsin Commissioner of Railroads. Also want to thank you for your calls and emails and for just listening along through today. This and all of our shows are a total team effort and want to thank the team, Clara Neipert, Joel Patnod, Jeff Robbins. I usually get to sit back on the other side of the microphone and be part of the show that way, so it is just an honor to be able to sit in for Larry today. Want to thank our executive producer, Jill Nadeau, who makes it all possible. I'm Lee Rayburn, and I'm in for Larry today, and you're listening to the Larry Mueller Show.